It is time for another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's wandering, adventurous, intrepid reporter. Ruth, what have you found for us? What's going on out there?
Well, I was perusing the minutes of the All Boards Committee meeting recently. That's the one at Region 1, that's all the board chairmen. And the topic of consolidation was on the agenda. So I was following that up because I'm always an interesting topic and one that is always percolating here. And it appears that the superintendent and the business manager are going to start a organizational study to look into the issue of consolidation or a regional middle school, which we've talked about for eons. This is, I think it's especially being highlighted now because of lower enrollments. I mean, we've gone through, as you know, ups and downs with enrollment, but last few years, things have really sort of, every school is seeing numbers going down. And costs going up. So I think it would be interesting to follow and talk to people about their feelings on this. We have schools that are very small. We have transportation issues. Were we to think about a middle school or consolidation? And so interesting topic.
Yeah, it is. You've got three under 100 right now of the six elementaries. And what's it going to cost? Did they say anything about what the consultants and the study is going to cost us and how long it's going to take?
The minutes say that this they're going to come up with a study. The two Sam and Mellon at the central office, and then I don't think they're hiring somebody. I think they're going to just present it to the individual boards for as a start. To start the discussion is what I'm gathering. There's going to be, I think, as always, there'll be a push and pull. There are those who say, absolutely, we need to, you know, I think we have the highest per pupil costs in the state, if I'm not mistaken.
That's
if not,
possible.
We're up there.
Some of the schools, at least, the low numbers. Another thing on this, too, though, is each time that schools that have been shrinking monumentally, if you will, try to cut the budget, the state says, no, you can't.
Right. Yeah. You have that minimum budget requirement.
So I think they have to do something with that as well. If you're going to try and change things, that's one of those things, because, like I say, simply the state says, no, you can't cut the budget. You got to come up with something better.
Yeah. And makes... Which is, you know, you're going around in circles because your costs are going up, your enrollment is going down, and yet you still have to spend this same amount of money. It's
well, and like they did out in Norfolk years back, I believe it was close to 3 years in studying and preparing and everything, and it got shot down anyway.
Right.
And as you're rolling along, obviously the projections are saying the same. We're going down and down. So you can't take all day to make decisions on this either.
Yeah, I find it just interesting. And the different discussions, you know, there is a positive aspect of having K-8 schools where the older kids mingle with the younger, but there's you know, the thought of a middle school where you can provide more latest technology and all that is, and there's the socialization part of it. There are, I understand, two schools at least that have graduating classes this year of two or three. That it's they are intertwined with their seventh graders and they mix together, but. You know, it's a little, that it's just not enough is, I think it's socialization for kids when it's so
Now
small.
you're saying they're mentioning a middle school. Are they also looking at eliminating some of the local schools as part of this process, or
don't
is
know
it
yet. This is so beginning, but when
so
you say
beginning?
consolidation, it seems to me, that's on the table.
Could be. The other side of this too, though, when you're consolidating, if you're building a whole new building for a middle school down there, how many millions, tens of millions, maybe hundreds these days, it's building. There's a lot here, a lot of moving parts, but unfortunately, ultimately, when the people have to vote on it, the record keeps showing us that they say, nope.
Yeah, they're willing to pay for these expensive schools. Yeah. Should be an interesting
Also, you've raised numerous points, and I'm sure that the people looking at this are, haven't forgotten completely what's happened the last time. So it will be interesting to see how far it gets and whether anybody is, every issue question that has been raised between the two of you is perfect, will need to be answered.
Yeah, it's a really, really, really big topic that is, I don't
But
know. I
it's
don't
also,
know how you handle the whole thing and the complexities. It's bad enough for the
but you don't have to
superintendents
write the
over the
check.
years, the people over the years who have had to handle a district. And most of the superintendents said you're having all these independent school boards. And, that all comes together. And again, can you even get it done? Is it worth wasting the money? I hate to say it that way, but is it worth wasting a bunch of money on studies and consultants, or just as
Wait a
long as they
second.
want
Wait
to
a
pay,
second.
let it be?
But wait a second. It hasn't even gotten there yet, right, Ruth?
No, we're
All
just.
they're saying from the minutes is they're going to look at this. They are.
Yeah, no, and I'm just saying that do they, is it worth the time to look at it? First, you need to find out how the public feels about it. That's my opinion. You need to get them together, kind of lay out real quickly. You don't have to have all these elaborate plans you've spent all this time and money on. Get the readout now before you start diving into something that inevitably is going to fail.
Well, that's where they're going, I think. They come up with something and then they present it to all the boards, and it could
Exactly.
stop right there for all we know.
Right. They need to go to the
So all
citizens.
I'm
The
saying is
citizens
that, right?
ultimately run this show, and going to the boards is, you need to take it right to the citizens and find out what that gauge is out there, because they're the ones that are going to say yay or nay to this.
But first they have to figure out what they are. All I'm saying is absolutely right, but first. But first, they have to figure out with the, if they've even got something to bring out. And
All righty,
I just want to make,
we'll
I'm
have.
understanding. Ruth, you're reading the minutes, so nothing official on this yet.
Right. Yeah, we'll
Okay.
follow it up.
Well, there's Zoom meetings I think you can go look at as well. But anyway,
So
we've eaten up a block of
that's a
time. Let's move
well, that's
along.
an interesting, the concept is always interesting, and it's we go through this with, and then new people come in and think, oh, let's, they don't have the history, and so we start all over again. So we'll
Yeah, I'm
see.
just concerned about the economics. You're not wanting to spend all this money as they're shrinking, but you're going to spend all this money to go down a road that may not be a good road. So anyway, what else is going on?
Okay, well, over. I'm finding this interesting. In Salisbury, they're talking about a pedestrian tunnel. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I
Up at
saw that.
Salisbury School.
Salisbury School, yeah, and
Yeah,
That's
they're
really
thinking.
not that busy. It's the one up at Hotchkiss is the busy one.
Yeah, but this one, you're coming around sort of a curve, and you come upon these kids crossing, and I guess, and so they're concerned about
Well,
having to
yeah,
go across the road, and but this underground walkway, which
they've already put up the party lights and everything out there at that, and they sometimes have some person sitting down there as well, much like they do at Hotchkiss.
Hotchkiss, yeah.
Helping out with it because, yeah, it's a ways out from the corner. But most of the time, people don't
They
come around that fast because of the curve of the highway, except for the few idiots that do.
well,
But,
there's some pretty
a
I've
tunnel will
seen.
be interesting. If they want to pay for it, good for them.
Well, I just find it, very interesting. So they're talking, obviously with all the commissions, the land use commissions, and that we're going to see this tunnel, a pedestrian tunnel, and kind of interesting, I think. And we'll see what happens. According to the minutes here, or the discussions, the commissioners need said they need more information before they can render a decision. So
This
they're
is
coming again before the Inland Wetlands today, came before them last night. So we
But
will
that's
be
gonna,
following it.
at some point, the state's gonna have to play into this too.
Yeah, it's a state road.
Yeah.
So yeah, but just the thought of an underground tunnel is kind of interesting, I think. And then in Sharon, they're talking about chickens. This issue of is gets raised oh periodically. We talk about people coming to town and new people and issues that circulate through. Those of us who've been lo here long enough know that this is nothing new, but we had this discussion a couple of years ago here in Kent when somebody complained about the roosters in the neighbor's backyard, and the commissions all said we have a right to farm bill ordinance here, so they can sort of do whatever they want. And here again, there's in Sharon now, there's this dispute and down in Sharon Valley about neighbors who have chickens. And so they're going to be reviewing the farm rules to see.
Is it that the chickens are roaming around and on their properties, or?
I think it's more the noise, the nuisance that well, they're saying the nuisance of chickens on the neighboring property. Central to the complaint is what constitutes a farm in the town zoning regulations. So I always well, I should have chuckled, but we're still, we're rural here, and there are issues of farm issues.
Well, they're usually, a lot of them are a great way of getting nice fresh eggs, real eggs without crap in them.
I know, and that's one of the reasons to chuckle, because it's like, wow, okay, yes, dogs bark, chickens make noise. Everybody learned Old MacDonald when they were not in middle school,
And don't forget what the cows do. They
Oh, right. Moo.
flatulate.
No, you and I already talked about that.
I know, but I like it better the first
You're
way.
just stuck. Okay,
But
fine.
we also the the Freund's farm. I mean, and that whole issue of the odor of manure and how they're working it to, well, to not reduce the smell, but taking the manure and repurposing it. So,
Yeah,
I mean,
you're still going to have the smell. We call
we
it
still,
fresh country air.
so it's
Yeah.
like waiting for you. Hey, Mike, do your chinchillas poop?
They do.
Of course. I'm sorry to reduce it to such a basic concept,
I don't know if they give off, CO2 gases or anything, or CO2
but
harm, yeah, whatever. Now
you're
I'm
not.
confused.
But the point being, as Ruth indicated earlier, this is rural, and I don't
Live
know.
with it.
That's not. I guess in certain cases, and we know what they are, people aren't okay with that because they're here now. I'm here, and it bothers me. So, ergo.
Yeah, that's basically it.
They're just
But
looking for food. That's all. Just
they're
looking for food.
strong right to farm activists who, it was very strong here in Kent when that issue happened, and the land use people came out very strongly about the right to farm, and we don't, that's part of life here in this community.
So they got, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, so no, the roosters are still here as far as I know. I went to an interesting talk this past week at Audubon by Dr. James Shepherd. He is an infectious disease doctor and at Yale. He also owns Smokedown Farm, which was creating hops. That was the focus. But it's now transforming into more native fruits. And but anyway, he is a infectious disease doctor who's got a lot of experience in the area of ticks and Lyme disease. And it was a very interesting talk. I mean, one comes away feeling a little itchy, but it's a real problem and getting worse. And his theory or his d thoughts are that it's because of the drop in biodiversity, and all the things that are causing, you know, we have not here so much, but suburban sprawl. We have climate change, and all these things affect and increase the ability for ticks to increase, you know. And so he gave some history, he gave some scientific stuff, and said, you know, what you have to do is really try and plant native plants, more plants, just try and oversee forest lands better. And but it's a real problem, and every spring and summer we deal with it. So
That's true. And the ticks, they carry all kinds of pathogens sometimes.
all kinds and
We did
interesting.
a I did an interview last week with a lady over at the Carey Institute about this very subject.
Yeah, he brought that up a lot, the studies they've done there.
Yeah, and it was talking about the whole idea that they're not just carrying one thing anymore, they may be carrying multiple. So it's a
Yeah, and this
difficult situation.
idea of delusion, the not delusion, well, di diluting the ability for these animals to be infected by these is, he said, well, he gave a chart and showed where the actually the real culprit, more so than anything, is the white-footed mouse, because they're small and they can it's once you get to a bigger animal like a deer, it can the effect can be diluted a bit, but it just, yeah, the Carey Institute has done a lot of work in this area, and it was a very interesting talk. This is all part of their policy potluck set series at Audubon. It's I'm not sure how many more sessions there are this year, but if they're free, and people should look out for the schedules. They really are very interesting topics. So, and
Right. We are closing in on the tail end here. So, what are
okay,
any other things you want to
coming
come
up,
up with this morning?
we have the Salisbury Republicans on Thursday. They're having a meet and greet with all the candidates, the state candidates in the November election. And on Friday, we have Salisbury Forum talking about the Revolutionary War and authors who have written books, Peter Vermillier and Ronan McCreskey, and how it and relating it to the 250th anniversary. And that's at the high school again. It's free at 7 or 7:30. But those Salisbury forums are terrific. They always get good speakers.
A lot of things this year about the 250th anniversary. Just as a quick footnote, if you're interested in more about the ticks and the Carey Institute study, we did an interview with Dr. Shannon Ladeau last week on that, and you can find that at robinhoodradio.com/on-demand, and you'll learn quite a bit from there.
Yeah, it's an important topic here, certainly in our area.
Yes, it is, because they get on you real quick, and you can get them even walking out in your well-cut lawn. They're everywhere. So, all right. Well, I guess it's time to turn this over to Jill so she can take us home.
And with that, thank you very much. This has been another edition of What's Going On Out There, Ruth, with Ruth Epstein, Robin Hood Radio's roving, rambling, adventurous, intrepid, experienced reporter on Robin Hood Radio.